Oh, hey, Mark. What are you working on?
Oh, hi, Adam. I'm just finishing up my Dark Side of the Moon.
Wow. Finishing up your Dark Side?
Yeah.
Your masterpiece?
Well...
Your magnum opus?
I mean, it's not exactly...
The content that will live on for decades and stand above all other content.
I don't know if I'd go so far as to say...
That's amazing.
Well, thanks, but it's actually just a piece that looks back on Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon. See, it's its 50th anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah.
I suppose you tied it into content marketing and probably AI in some way, like you do.
Right.
Cool. Well, I'm sure it's still going to be great.
Thanks, Adam. Let's just start the show, okay?
Welcome to Content, Robots, and Rock and Roll, the podcast where we talk about content marketing, creativity, technology, and AI, all in the context of some of the best rock and roll music. Now here's your host, Mark Donner.
Today, as this podcast comes out on March 1st, 2023, Pink Floyd's legendary album, The Dark Side of the Moon, turns 50 years old. With sales of over 45 million copies worldwide, Dark Side holds a special place in the hearts and minds of rock and roll fans everywhere. In fact, as we had fun with in the cold open, the phrase, making your dark side of the moon, has become shorthand for creating your life's work. The masterpiece that will never be topped. The apex. The pinnacle. Let's explore for a bit about why that is. Why this album resonates with so many. And then let's see what lessons we can learn from Pink Floyd that we can maybe apply to some of the content that we make. The Dark Side of the Moon is a rare instance where the band had a clear vision for the record they wanted to make, and they also had the know-how to get it onto tape. They did it themselves with notable help from engineer Alan Parsons, who was not current-day Alan Parsons, but just a young engineer assigned to help with the record by EMI Studios, which is now Abbey Road Studios. But Pink Floyd stuck to their vision. They were expressive, they were imaginative, they were creative, and they created one of the greatest albums of all time. Let's look into this a little deeper and find out why. Hey, Bella, are you around?
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, I'm looking into why Dark Side of the Moon was so groundbreaking. Can you go to, let's try ChatGPT today, see what it has to say about the record.
Sure. One moment.
What are those sounds?
I'm asking ChatGPT for information on why Dark Side of the Moon was so groundbreaking.
And it makes sounds like that?
Haven't you seen a movie? How did you think that we robots talk to each other?
Really?
No, I'm just f***ing with you.
All right. Any results yet?
Yeah, from ChatGPT. The Dark Side of the Moon is considered one of the most significant and influential albums in the history of rock music. Here are a few reasons why it was groundbreaking. The Dark Side of the Moon is a concept album, which means that all the songs are linked thematically and musically. This was a relatively new idea in the early 1970s, and Pink Floyd's ambitious execution of this concept helped to establish the album as a classic. The album explores universal themes such as death, time, and the human condition, which resonated with audiences around the world. The album's production was groundbreaking for its time, with Pink Floyd using innovative techniques such as quadraphonic sound and careful manipulation of stereo panning. This made for a more immersive listening experience that was a departure from the standard production of the time. The album features a wide range of experimental sounds and techniques, such as the use of spoken word samples, sound effects, and extensive use of synthesizers. This experimentation helped to push the boundaries of what was possible in popular music and inspired many other artists to experiment with new sounds and techniques.
Okay, so that's actually pretty good information.
Yeah, of course it is.
All right. Thanks, Bella. I want to explore a couple of those topics in greater detail. Let's start with concept albums. That was the thing to do in the 70s. There were a lot of them. Pink Floyd's Dark Side was not the first, certainly wasn't the last. But Pink Floyd really did it well here by creating a work made of individual tracks that connected to each other sonically, tonally, and thematically. This is kind of an interesting lesson for us, for content creators, on how to build content that resonates with our audience and creates a real authentic experience for the audience, whether that's listener, viewer, reader, whatever. Thematically, you're probably talking about the same or similar topics anyway if you're creating content, but you might look to other things too, whether that be the style of art you use. Perhaps you can look at your story structure, maybe telling one big story with multiple arcs over periods of weeks or months that weave in the topics that you want to cover into that overall story. I think about things like case studies, for example, or a video series that uses the same people in the same setting, connecting sets of topics or themes. And speaking of themes, let's look at what ChatGPT told us. The album explores universal themes such as death, time, and the human condition, which resonated with audiences around the world. I might also add mental illness to this list of themes. Every Pink Floyd record following original singer and guitarist Syd Barrett's departure in 1968 was influenced in some form or fashion by Barrett's tragic descent into psychedelic drugs and mental illness. I'm not going to get into all that today, but there's a lot you can read about that and a lot you can listen to around that as well. Dark Side of the Moon came out in the 1970s, the early 1970s, at a time that was full of turmoil and uncertainty throughout the world. The album connected with people in a real and visceral way, and the ubiquitous themes explored in the album helped to enable that resonance and enhance the overall listening experience. Now, your content, or my content, may not include themes as dark as death, mental illness, the fleeting passage of time, but there are certainly elements of the human condition that you can use to form authentic connections with your audience. Usage of common human themes not only helps to connect your content together, kind of give it some cohesiveness, it helps you with brand building. So there's a lot we can learn from Pink Floyd in terms of story, in terms of structure, in terms of theme, a lot we can learn in the way we craft storytelling from Dark Side of the Moon. But let's move on from that and get into production and experimentation. Pink Floyd did a lot of cool things with the creation of this record. They asked random questions to people in and around the studio and recorded their answers. And you'll find those random voices throughout the record. You hear the laughter and the weird little phrases that get peppered in throughout the songs. That's from those sessions. They did the same thing with sounds, using samples like change dropping into a bowl and cash registers and connecting all that tape into a 7-beat loop that would become the rhythm track for the song Money, one of their biggest songs. This kind of technology would become trivial later on in years with digital technology, but in 1972 and 3, it involved splicing and connecting small bits of tape, then looping it together in exactly the right tempo. It took considerable skill, imagination, and creativity to achieve that kind of thing. They also experimented with sound, panning and putting sound in different channels. Quadraphonic sound was a new technology at that point, basically placing sound in 4 distinct speaker channels versus 2 for stereo or 1 for mono. Didn't really catch on for music for quite some time. Companies like Apple and Tidal are bringing multi-channel dynamic audio back in their music streaming services, but it still hasn't terribly caught on. It's mostly used for movies and television, your surround sound, so to speak. Listening on a high fidelity sound system, though, or a good set of headphones will bring some of this out in Dark Side, no matter what kind of equipment you have, even if you don't have anything special to listen to it on. That enhances the experience, which is what we're talking about here. And the area that I really wanted to get into, though, was Pink Floyd's use of synthesizers on Dark Side. And the reason is, and I've talked about this before, but I find early synthesizers in 1970s rock music to have a pretty significant correlation to the way we think about AI in modern content creation. Let's explore that. Could you use a late 60s or early 70s analog synthesizer to create an entire record from start to finish and make it sound pretty good? Yeah, I guess. People did. It's not really the music that I get into, and after a while, that kind of music, while cool, comes rather tiresome and vapid. Artists like Pink Floyd, however, and others, who one of whom I'm getting ready to talk about in a future episode, actually. I was actually preparing that for today, but then I realized we're on the 50th anniversary of Dark Side, so flip things around a little bit. But they use synthesizer technology to enhance or augment their creative vision. On the Run, for instance, track 3 on side 1, it's a dark, menacing track that beautifully and artfully connects the introduction of Speak to Me and Breathe with the ethereal and epic Time. Then that gets followed up by one of the most beautiful and goosebump-inducing moments on the whole record, The Great Gig in the Sky, featuring the majestic, wordless vocals of singer Claire Torrey. It's one of the most famous vocal moments in rock history. That sequence on side one, though, was created by brilliant, emotional, talented humans, sometimes a little abrasive. Roger Waters, I'm looking at you. All of that supported by new technology. Sound familiar? If not, let's fast forward 50 years to 2023, right now. The best content we can create using AI, to me, seems to be content where the AI supports and complements our human creativity, imagination, and point of view. That's how writers, musicians, and creators of all kinds can stay engaged, relevant, and frankly, employed. That's how we're able to create our quote-unquote dark side, whatever form that might take for each of us. And I think that's where I want to end for today. Of course, I will link the recordings of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon in today's show notes. If you can listen to it on a physical medium like vinyl, I kind of recommend that. It's a good experience to sit down, drop a needle, and listen from start to finish. But otherwise, there's some great recordings on streaming services too, so do that if nothing else. There's a 50th anniversary remastered version coming out later in March, and I've only heard a couple of tracks from it so far, but I think that's worth checking out when it arrives too. That'll be available on streaming, so you don't have to necessarily buy it. But I'm also linking two pieces of content that provide more context around this magnificent album. We talked about a couple of moments in passing that I think are worthy of exploration, and this article and this video get into that a little bit. The first is the article, Sublime Menace and Sonic Enormity, 50 Years of Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon, by Mark Beaumont, published in The Independent. The other is Abigail DeVoe's video analysis entitled Dark Side of the Moon, 50 Years Later. I just watched it last night, and it is really good. How to end? Robots, can you give me something poignant to end the show today?
And if the band you're in starts playing different tunes, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
This is an AI-generated voice telling you that if you have comments or questions about anything discussed on content, robots, and rock and roll, send us an email at podcast@superspacerobot.com. You can also visit the website at superspacerobot.com. For more information on any of today's topics, don't forget to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. There is no dark side of the moon, really. As a matter of fact, it's all dark.